everyone. I'm Christine Barron, and today I'm here to talk a little bit about the partnerships associated with the CDC's Infertility Prevention Project. And I'm with JSI Research and Training Institute. We're a public health research and consulting firm, and we work with a number of underserved populations, both in the U.S. and internationally. And before getting started, I think I just have to say that I have no commercial interests or financial relationships to disclose. So to give you a little background on this presentation, 3 years ago, JSI was contracted by the Division of STD Prevention at the CDC to do an assessment of a long-time initiative called the Infertility Prevention Project, or IPP. And at the time, the IPP was a collaboration amongst state family planning programs, STD programs, and public health labs. And it was coordinated by 10 regional organizations, of which JSI was one of. But the purpose was to control infertility related to chlamydia and gonorrhea, especially in underserved populations. And so in the assessment that JSI did, we were tasked with looking at the Affordable Care Act and how that might affect the IPP program, and also how providers could potentially realign their priorities in the changing environment. So these providers have historically offered mainly free or donation-only services. So as their funding stream decreases and the number of individuals with insurance increases, there is a lot of recognition that their business models would need to shift in order to remain sustainable. And through this assessment, JSI identified partnerships as one of the really key areas that would be really important for these providers moving forward. So our objectives today are to describe current partnerships at the time of the assessment, as well as new opportunities which will be really important in maintaining the sustainability of these programs. So I won't go into our methodology too much in depth, but we use a mixed method methodology. We initially started with secondary data on which to build our primary data collection methods. And those consisted of three surveys with clinics, labs, and family planning and STD program partners, as well as key informant interviews with national and regional experts in the field. So this slide provides just a quick snapshot of the three most common and least common partnerships that our state family planning and STD providers were engaged in. And as you can see, community health centers, state health departments, and local health departments were really common partnerships. And this slide is very similar. It just shows from more of a local level with our clinic partners. So again, the local health departments and the state health departments were very common partnerships amongst these providers. But really the main takeaway from these surveys was that, one, infertility prevention providers had a really ample foundation of partnerships to build upon, but also interestingly, historically their partnerships have been, you know, very much within the field of STD prevention and with other organizations who have access to their same populations. So that was an important takeaway from us from these surveys. So after our initial surveys and assessment, we really worked with providers to understand both the strengths and the challenges that they faced in partnership formation. And the rationale for this is that the providers really wanted to understand what they brought to the table and why other organizations would be interested in partnering with them. And so we identified these strengths here on the slide, and they're around, you know, increased integration, resource sharing, realizing efficiencies, and I won't go into these into detail, but the main takeaway was that this process was really important in helping providers sort of step back and get a bigger picture and then recognize their strengths, their competitive advantage, and how they could better advocate for themselves when coming to the table. So once we helped them identify their strengths, we really focused on their strategies. So we were really trying to shift the paradigm on how these groups looked at their partnerships traditionally. We helped them develop a prioritized list of organizations. We also helped them develop a communication and outreach strategy And this involved working with organizations to develop really specific talking points regarding their strengths. We also helped them develop some educational tools and fact sheets to offer to potential providers around STD screening. But more importantly, we started to help them think about their historic partnerships and how they have been within the, within the field of STD prevention. And we really encouraged them to think strategically about how they could fill gaps and expand their reach even more to remain sustainable in the changing environment. So these are some of the categories of partnerships that we focused on: primary care providers, private providers, FQHCs in schools, and other federal and national organizations. Again, really trying to encourage these providers to diversify their partnership base. So what partnership opportunities do new service delivery models present? Looking at the new service delivery environment, one of the topics that kept coming up was the patient-centered medical home. And so JSI conducted a survey to see what providers' levels of awareness were of this model. And keep in mind, this was about 2 years ago that this was performed. So as you can see, it's not very high, but hopefully that's increasing. What we really encourage providers to do is continue exploring these models, because we really felt like they had a lot to offer. For one, sexual and reproductive health providers are very strategically placed in the community. They have access to a really unique client base, so a client base that is younger, typically healthy adults that otherwise might not be engaged in care. Another big strength that they bring to this model is that they have a lot of experience addressing disparities and targeting really vulnerable populations in doing whole person care. They also bring a lot of expertise that other providers in the medical home might not be comfortable providing around sexual and reproductive health, or they might not have the expertise to provide. So because of this, we really encourage providers to explore these new models. We felt like they could have the opportunity to become essential community providers, add a lot of value to medical homes, and become engaged in the larger healthcare framework. So to conclude, despite the changes in the Affordable Care Act that are coming down the road, we really feel like there's a significant role for these providers in the changing environment. I mean, and this role includes educating private and primary care providers, passing along their expertise in reproductive health. It also includes a role in messaging to their client base on the importance of engaging in the healthcare delivery system. And finally, these providers really have an important role as an initial point of contact for some people in the healthcare system. There's a study that the Guttmacher Institute conducted at the time of this, and it found that approximately 6 in 10 women who obtain care at a family planning clinic consider it to be their usual source of medical care. So that really illustrates how these providers can be really important entryways to the whole healthcare system as it's shifting. And taking a step back, I think because there is still a level of discomfort providing sexual and reproductive health services in some circles, these providers haven't historically been at the table in the context of the larger service delivery environment, but they do provide really important services. They have access to a really unique client base, and so given the importance of this role, we really wanted to help them recognize their value that they could bring with the changes in the Affordable Care Act coming. So that's all that I have. If you have any other questions, or if you're interested in reading our full report, which looks at other domains outside of partnerships, you can feel free to contact our project director, Yvonne Hamby, or me as well. So thank you very much.